Hey, good morning. This is Rabbi Cohen. We are on Samech Chesam and Aleph at the Mishnah. So we're fundamentally going to be talking about two similar concepts. Concept number one is if someone acts on behalf of somebody else and they achieve some sort of incremental benefit, who does that incremental benefit go to? Does it go to them or does it go to the person that they're the agent for? And the another view of it is if someone is an agent for someone to do something and they do more than what they were empowered to do, does that completely invalidate the agency, or does it only invalidate the point above what they were assigned to do? And that's going to be relevant to the Mishnah and what we're going to talk about. So case number one, Almana, Shaisa Ksuv Asa Masayim, you have an Almana that has a Ksuv of 200, Zuz, Umachra Shavimana B'Masayim, and she took a field or property that was worth 100 Zuz, and she sold it for 200 Zuz. So in this case, she's getting benefit because she's taking something worth 100 and getting 200. She's only entitled to 200. So she could then, in theory, say to the people she got the land from, hey, it was my benefit. I got the extra 100. You still owe me another 100. Or do we say that the 200 she got is the 200 she was owed, and end of story? So again, who gets the benefit here? Is it her benefit, or is it the people whose land she's selling benefit? Oh, second case, Shavah Masayim B'Mana. She takes property that was worth 200 and she sells it for 100. So again, she's entitled to 200. There's property worth 200, but she sells it at a loss and she gets the 100. So what happens in both cases? Niskabelis Ksuvasa. She got her Ksuva. So bottom line is that she can't go back to the other side and say, either you owe me another 100 because I only sold 100 worth, as well as she can't say, you owe me another 100 because I got 100 worth, right? In either case, she gets her ksuba. Second case, second set, Haisa Ksuvasa Mana, she has a ksuba that was worth 100, Umachra Shava Mana Vedina Ramana, and she took land that was worth 101, and she sold it for 100. Machra Batal, her sale is invalid. So again, she overstepped what she was allowed to do. She sold 101 when she only was entitled to 100. So here it says the whole situation is invalid. Afil hi omeris, even if she says, achzer din al yarshim, I'll pay you back for the one, machra batel, the sale is not valid. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, la'ola machra kayem, he says the sale is always valid. She still has to give back the one, but the sale still works. Achitek sham kedek shetashayer, kesada bas tisha kabin, ugina bas chatzi kav, or Rabbi Akiva, base rova. So in all these cases, as long as she leaves over, she doesn't impinge upon the ability to have a valid field. So if you're talking about a field, it has to be at least 9 kav. If you're talking about a vegetable garden, it has to be at least a half a kav. And Rabbi Akiva says a quarter of a kav. As long as she doesn't take it in such a way that the field is not viable for anything else, the sale would be valid according to him. Third case, third set. Haisa Ksuvasa Arba Ma'uzuz, the Ksuba was worth 400. Umachra Lezebemana Velezebemana, and she sold the person number one 100 for 100, and person number two 100 for 100, person number three 100 for 100. However, for Achor in the fourth one, Yafa Mana Vedina Ramana, she sold 101 for 100. In this case, Shal Achron Batel, the fourth one is not valid, Vishal Kulan Machron Kayan, but the number one through three, where she sold 100 for 100, those are all valid. So again, we have a few different cases. All these cases are talking about similar things, but what's the differences and what do they mean? Maishna Shava Masai B'mana. What's the difference in the case where she sold property worth 200 for 100 that we say that counts? Darmalei, because we tell her, At Afsadata, you lost out. You undersold what was worth 200 for 100, so the loss is on you. Shavamana b'maisayim nami. And similarly, in the first case where she said, maybe in the first case where she sold property worth 100 for 200, Tema let her say, Anan arvichana, I made a good deal. You know, I sold your 100 for 200, so I should get the profit here, right? You still owe me another 100. The Gemara answers, I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rabba Bar Avua, going to Amid Beis. Kan Shna Rebbe, here in the Mishnah Rebbe taught, Hakol Leval Hamas, the benefit always goes to the originator, not to the agent. Kedetanya, we learned it in Braisa, Hosifa La Achas Yisera, an agent was sent to buy fruit or produce and via Seira, and they gave him something extra. So he was sent to buy 10 apples for $10. And the guy said, you know what, here's an extra one, here's an 11th. Right, HaKol HaShaliach. He would say that the benefit goes to the agent, that he gave the apple to the agent, so the agent gets the extra apple. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rabbi Yossi Omer Cholkin, he says that you split it. You take that extra apple and you split it between the two. But we have a different, so here we have Rabbi Yossi says it goes to the Shaliach, but we have another case, Vatanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says HaKol L'Bal HaMa'os, that the extra benefit goes to the person who's set the whole situation in motion. So that, according to the second view, he should get that extra apple. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, lo kasha, no problem. Kam b'davar sheyesh lo kitzva. Here we're talking about something where something has a fixed price. If you're buying a bushel of apples, it's always $100. Kam b'davar sheyein lo kitzva. Here is something where it's not a fixed price. If you're buying a property, it's evaluated, it's appraised, it's negotiated, the price is always different. So he would say that in a case, kam b'davar sheyein lo kitzva, right? In the first case of the Mishnah, where the widow sold land for more than it was worth, Rav Yossi would say that it goes to the owner, because land does not sell at a fixed price. However, in a case where it does sell at a fixed price, then it's a different situation. So Amar Rav Papa gives the definitive ruling. Hilchos Halacha is davar sheyesh lo kitzva, something that has a fixed price. A bushel of apples is always $100. Cholkin, if you get a bushel and a little bit more, you split the benefit. Davar she'ein lo kitzva, so it does not have a fixed price where it's always evaluated, negotiated, whatever. HaKol lo bal hamaos, the benefit always goes to the originator, not to the agent. Ma'akeh mashbilan. So what is Rav Papa actually teaching us here? Shinina da shinina shinahu. He's teaching us that the halacha is that this is just to reconcile that we said Rabbi Yossi two different ways. At the end of the day, it all depends upon kitzva or not kitzva. If it's a kitzva, it has a fixed price, you split it. And if it doesn't have a kitzva, it goes back to the originator. Ibai Lahu, they ask the question, Armale, in a case where someone tells his agent, Zabin le lisve, liska, sell for me a lesach of my field. A lesach is a value that's a half of a kor. Va'azov a zabin le kura. And he went and he sold a kura. He sold double. He was supposed to sell X and he sold 2X. Right? My, what is it? What happens here? Do we say that Mosi Valdvarov, who do we say X was valid, the part that goes above X was invalid? So at least the sale of X should go through. And the liste mehe chahani, and therefore the person who bought it should at least get the X, should get the lesach, and the extra part has to be returned. Odilma Mavir Advarov, or do you say, no, he went above his authority. He sold 2X when he was only empowered for X. Listanami Lokani, and therefore the entire deal breaks, right? So that's a fundamental disagreement, right? Is the anything the agent does above his authority, does that nullify, or does that just nullify the above the authority level? Amar Rav Yaakov Minar Pekod Mishmei Deravina. Tashma, we learned this in a Mishnah. Amar Baal Habayis L'Shlucho. Someone sends his agent, he says, Tein Lehen Chaticha L'Orchin. Go give meat that I have in a pot to my guests. Give them each one piece. And what we're talking about here is, it's unknown, but this meat is actually Hekdesh. So when you give meat that's Hekdesh, it's called Me'ila, if you use it, and you have to pay a penalty for using it. So he says, unknowingly, if you do that unknowingly, just give one piece of the meat in this pot to each of my guests. And he goes to the guests and says, you know what, everyone, take two pieces of meat. And each one of them does not only takes two, but takes three pieces of meat, right? In this case, everyone has done me'ila. The owner has done me'ila on piece number one. The agent has done me'ila on piece number two. And the people themselves have done me'ila on piece number three. So, you know, again, it's a question, right? Because in theory, if you went above the line, you know, what does it really mean? It's good if you want to say that when you go above the words, then whatever is above is your problem, right? The balabayas, the originator, is still responsible for what he agreed to. And everything above that is someone else's problem. It doesn't get totally nullified. Shumhachi balabais mal. Because of that, the balabais himself, the originator, is mal, because even though they took three pieces of meat, he's still responsible for the first. Everything above the first is not his problem. Ella iamatar mavral dvarav have. If you want to say that it is violating the instruction and therefore it should be batel altogether, right? The whole sale should be validated. Balabais amaymal. Why would the balabais be responsible at all? How about Tanah? We learned in the Mishnah, HaShaliach Sha'asa Shlichaso, that a Shaliach who does an assignment, does his assignment, meaning he does something following the instructions, Balabayis Mal, the Balabayis, the originator, is responsible for the Me'ila that's done as a result of the agent. However, Losa Shlichaso, but if he does not do exactly what he was told to do, Shliach Mal, it falls to the agent, right? So it's not the responsibility of the owner, of the originator, because the agent didn't do what he was talking about. So here we might say, you know, this is the fundamental part of our disagreement, right? If he followed what he was supposed to do, then he should have only sold one, but he sold more than one, or he gave away more than one of the pieces of this meat, right? So what are we talking about? Hakava Mayaskina, what are we talking about? Damulahu, where the guy said out loud, two achas bidata shabalabais. Here, take one. And it's from the balabais. And now, the achas bitata, he says, you know what, take another one, it's on me, right? Vishaku inotas, and everyone else went and took a third. So because he explicitly stated it out, he ended his agency by making the statement with the first thing, and everything after that point is considered a distinct action. Tashma, haisa ksuva samana, if the woman's ksuba was worth 100 zuz, Umacha shava mana v'dina ramana, and she sold 101 value of land, which is more than she's entitled to, right? Machorat batal, the entire sale is batal. My love, the zavin shava mana v'dina ramana v'dina. So how is this different from the case in our Mishnah? Is it the same as when she sold a field worth a dinar? A dinar for 100 zuz and a dinar. In other words, she sold the field at the actual price. In other words, she sold 101 for 101. She didn't sell 101 for 100. Umay b'mana. And what does the Mishnah mean when it says she sold it for 100 zuz? So it says she sold 101 for 100. Did she sell it for 101 or did she sell it for 100? Means mana shala. Means that she sold 101 in order to collect her 100. She didn't really sell 101 for 100, she sold 101 in order to collect 100 with the implication that she's going to give back the one. Umaya filo, what does the Mishnah mean when she says, even when I'm going to give you back the one? Obviously she has to give back the one, right? Afil hi omeres, achzeres adina l'yosha b'dina mekarpai. I'll give it back to you in land. I'll give you back the actual land. I won't just give you back a dinar, but somehow I'll reacquire the land that's worth a dinar, and I'll give it to you. The kasani, and the Mishnah says, makrabatel, the entire sale is invalid, because she sold more than she wasn't allowed to sell. Amarav huna b'rei d'arab nasan. Lo, this isn't the right way of reading the Mishnah. B'da'ozo, it talks about where she undercharged for the field. Was worth 101, and she sold it for 100. Going to Samach Tesam and Aleph. Hi, the Besefa B'Ozil. And since the later part of the Mishnah was where we talked about, she undersold for a value of the field. Havi Reksha B'Ozil. The earlier part of the Mishnah has to talk about where she is not undercharging for the field. Because what did we learn in the Seifa? The Ktani Seifa, the Seifa says, Haisek Suvasa Arama Ozuz, if she had 400 Zuz, and then in the last case we said she sold to the first three people for 100, and the fourth person she sold for 101 to get 100. Shall Akron Machra Batel. In that case, only the last one is invalid. Vishal Kulan Machron Kayan. In that case, but the first three we said were all valid. So therefore, it explicitly says that when she undersells the value, it becomes null and void. How does that relate to the rest of our Mishnah? This we'll learn about next week, but for now we'll pause. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Remember, tomorrow is Atanas, and we will not meet, but we'll pick up again next week. Have a wonderful day.